asking God to fix my wandering thoughts. Also talked about asking God to give us or to have the mind of Christ. And there were just multiple things throughout the service this morning about having a right mindset, the courage to press on and so on. And title of the sermon this morning is A Mind That Thinks Right. The mind is an amazing thing. It's one of the most complex and fascinating organs in our bodies. It's made up of billions of neurons or nerve cells that communicate with trillions of connections called synapses. Scientists and doctors have in recent years made huge strides in understanding the brain. Brain scans, brain mapping reveal many interesting things about the brain. Lots of therapy and other treatments have greatly improved brain injury recovery and so on. We hear of more and more successful brain surgeries. While it may be viewed as huge milestones and major breakthroughs, it also reveals how little we do actually know about the brain. Like so many things of God's creation, the universe, for example, one great new galaxy leads to another galaxy with multiple galaxies in that galaxy. And so many more mind-blowing things. And the brain, scientists and doctors have been finding out, is no exception. More proven facts all the time, but still even more things to theorize and marvel about at every turn. So some amazing facts about the brain, just to get our minds thinking. We already mentioned the billions of neurons and so on. Our neural impulses can travel at speeds of up to 268 miles per hour. So that's where our quick reactions are a result of, that blinking of the eyes to avoid dirt or a spark or something like that, slamming on the brakes to avoid a collision. The brain remains highly active during sleep, kind of a maintenance mode and memory consolidation. The brain fully matures at about age 25. Teenagers, maybe you don't like to hear this, but your parents do have something on you. The human brain will triple its size in the first year of life. The human brain gets smaller as we get older. The brain generates about 20 to 25 watts of electrical power, so it could actually power a small light bulb. So we actually can have light bulb moments. The brain has a vast amount of storage, around 2.5 petabytes. I don't know if that's a familiar term to you, a petabyte. You ever hear of that? How much is a petabyte? Remember when we thought kilobyte? Well, I guess a byte, first of all. First a bit, then a byte, then a kilobyte, then a megabyte, gigabyte. And now we can hardly settle for anything less than a terabyte on our phones, or several hundred gigs anyway. Our computers, for sure, we are looking for plenty of storage, but a terabyte generally gets things covered pretty good for us. Lots of storage. Well, petabyte is 1,000 terabytes. Tremendous brain storage. And keep in mind, this is only an estimate. One of those many things that scientists can only estimate or theorize about. Your brain uses 20% of the oxygen and blood in your body, so every minute around, a liter of blood flows through your brain. Exercise is just as good for your brain as it is for your body. The visual areas of the brain are in the back. Probably heard that. I think that's been around a long time. Hence, getting bumped in the back of the head, you often see stars. Short-term memory lasts 20 to 30 seconds. This has to do with your brain's capacity for holding small amounts of information in the active mind. The brain keeps this information in an available state for easy access, but only does so for about a minute and a half. Most people hold memory for numbers around 7 seconds and memory for letters around 9 seconds. And fun fact, the brain can store up to 7 digits in its working memory. That is why the telephone numbers are 7 digits long, plus an area code. It's one of the factors anyway. You may have heard the old myth that we have up to 50,000 to 70,000 thoughts a day, but according to modern studies, it's probably more realistic to say that we have around 6,200 thoughts per day. Now, defining thoughts is rather tricky because our thoughts can be really deep at times. They can be a sudden memory, or they can be just a tiny passing reaction. We could go on for a long time about even more complicated and intricate things about the amazing brain and power of thought that God created. That isn't really the focal point of the sermon this morning, but it should really cause us to stand in awe at how great our God is. We are fearfully and wonderfully made. Should we in turn use this gift and great tool for God's glory? God created the human mind with tremendous potential. With that potential comes the stark reality that with our carnal nature, it also has the power or influence to do great wrong. Many articles relating to popular psychology would claim that about 70% to 80% of our daily thoughts are negative. Scientists won't back that up. They would say that it is merely a myth. And I would accept that quickly. However, if we keep in mind that most of these scientists and psychologists don't necessarily look at things from a biblical perspective, so then we should see what the Bible actually has to say. Imagine your mind as a sponge. The sponge soaks up and absorbs everything it possibly can. It could be very dirty water, or it could be very clean water. It makes no difference. A sponge will soak it up, whatever it is exposed to. What do we input to our brain? What do we subconsciously absorb? What do we consciously absorb, for that matter, on purpose? Our brain is soaking it up. It is absorbing. We do things, read things, watch things, and pay no attention to what is it actually doing to us. What are we becoming accustomed to in training our minds to think? Maybe we are, first of all, thinking of the negative things about this. But it's also true that when we fill it with good things, it will help us to think right. Good things happen. There is tremendous power for right and tremendous potential for God's kingdom building. Another way to look at this is the algorithm, you could say, of the mind. Most of us know that what algorithms are in the computer world, a collection of data that produces results from that data. So the videos and the news you watch, the websites you visit, and the things you do on your phone will all likely input to an algorithm. It learns your habits, likes, dislikes, and so on. Ads and other suggested things are all part of this. The computer or phone begins to feel like it is a part of us. In fact, it will begin to control us. Think of another scenario. Imagine living in a house where you leave the front door wide open for 24 hours a day. Anyone can walk in. Anyone can drop off garbage on your living room floor, track mud across your carpets, or leave toxic packages on your kitchen table. We just wouldn't put up with that. But many of us do this mentally every single day. The society we live in can and will have its effects on us. But dare I say that the most powerful threats to our thinking has to do with the digital world, probably. Our minds go on idle, and generally speaking, when we put no effort forth in our thinking, it goes downhill very quickly. Anything goes. Something to think about anyway. Doesn't make all those things wrong, but the powerful influence is very real, and we must be on guard, otherwise it will control our minds. Our mind is a wonderful and a powerful thing. With wrong input, we become accustomed to wrong. We form bad habits. The stark reality is that this is us. This is our fallen state. We need Jesus. We need a mind that thinks right. As we look at some Bible verses, you will notice that I will switch back and forth between heart and mind a bit. When the Bible uses the word heart, it uses it to describe the inner core of a person, including thoughts, desires, and motives. So I'm not going to try and differentiate that too much as we go along. I think we understand the connection of the heart, soul, and mind. There are differences. Like, we can understand and have a head knowledge, we say sometimes, and our heart isn't in it at all. But then we still don't have a mind that thinks right, do we? If that is the case, and we are deceived. So this morning, let's be on a pursuit to better understand how to think right. A few verses here to get started. Proverbs 23, verse 7, "For as he thinketh in his heart, so is he." Genesis 8, 21, "For the imagination of man's heart is evil from his youth." Jeremiah 17, 9, "The heart is deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. Who can know it?" Mark 7, 21 through 23, "For from within, out of the heart of men proceed evil thoughts, adulteries, fornications, murders, thefts, covetousness, wickedness, deceit, lasciviousness, and evil eye, blasphemy, pride, foolishness. All these evil things come from within and defile the man." Romans 8:7, because the carnal mind is enmity against God, for it is not subject to the law of God, neither indeed can be. Ephesians 4:18, having the understanding darkened, being alienated from the life of God through the ignorance that is in them because of the blindness of their heart. James 1:8, a double-minded man is unstable in all his ways. So there we have some scriptures that paint a picture of our minds being quite negative, quite terrible, really. 70% and 80% that we talked about just might be on the low side of describing degenerate minds and hearts. So if our minds have this tendency and the scriptures show us that we are fallen, what does that tell us about having minds that think right? Doesn't that tell us that there's going to be conflict in our minds? Is this where the biggest battles are fought? In our minds? For myself personally, I don't have to try to understand that there are big battles or that there might be possibly battles of the mind. I feel them every day and in many moments of my life. Those thoughts, which voice do I listen to? That's what temptations are. It starts with our thoughts. What do we do with our thoughts? We get tired and battle weary at times. You want to break from the battle of the mind. Now, I'm not going to pretend this morning to have real good answers to the deep emotional and mental needs that we feel sometimes in the darkest hours. But I'm convinced that the devil is in the darkness. He wants us to be in darkness. We are degenerate, and the powers of darkness are real, but so is our Savior. He is real. He promises a way, and if we find ourselves being overshadowed with darkness, go to God, go to someone who can help. It is a battle, and a very real one. And if the devil can control our minds, he has control of us. Fight. Jesus didn't promise that it would be easy, but he promised victory. 2 Corinthians 10, verses 3 through 5, for though we walk in the flesh, we do not war after the flesh. Those battles it's saying here are spiritual. For the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds, casting down imaginations and every high thing that exalteth itself against the knowledge of God, and bringing into captivity every thought to the obedience of Christ. Ephesians 6:12, for we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. Romans 12:2, and be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. Should it be any surprise to us that those battles of the mind are the biggest battles we face? It is a spiritual battle. Maybe we need to fight those battles more clearly, purposefully, and even verbally, perhaps, in Jesus' name. We've spent quite a bit of time looking at the dilemma and fallen state of our minds. And let's shift a little bit and focus on being transformed, having a renewed mind, a mind that thinks right. You can turn to Philippians 4. Philippians 4, and I think we'll read verses 1 through 9. Philippians 4, verse 1, therefore, my brethren, dearly beloved and longed for, my joy and crown, so stand fast in the Lord, my dearly beloved. I beseech Euodias and beseech Syntyche that they be of the same mind in the Lord. And I treat thee also, true yoke fellow. Help those women which labor with me in the gospel, with Clement also, and with other my fellow laborers whose names are in the book of life. Rejoice in the Lord always. And again, I say, rejoice. Let your moderation be known unto all men. The Lord is at hand. Be careful for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. And the peace of God, which passeth all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. Finally, brethren, whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are honest, whatsoever things are just, whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are lovely, whatsoever things are of good report, if there be any virtue and if there be any praise, think on these things, those things which ye have both learned and received and heard and seen in me do, and the God of peace shall be with you. We're going to focus on verse 8 mostly and look at each of those whatsoever things as a challenge for our minds. But in order for us to think right, we need a renewed mind, a changed heart. And it talks about this in the beginning verses, having the peace of God and how it will keep our hearts and minds. Also mentions rejoicing in the Lord, and that is a good mental state. It allows God, it's a result of God in our hearts. Philippians 2 verse 5, let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus. Our minds need the mind of Christ to think right, because we are fallen, as we were seeing earlier. We must allow the Spirit to guide us as we sort through and manage our thoughts. All right, first one, whatsoever things are true. The Greek word for true here is aleth. Facts, reality, and absolute truth, rather than falsehoods, illusions, or rumors. We want to know the truth about so many things when doubts arise in our minds. So we don't know the truth. We need to seek to find the truth. And by that, I mean God's word is truth. And so any thoughts that contradict God's word are not thoughts we want to dwell on. John 8:32, and ye shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. This principle applies to accepting the truth of God's word in our hearts. And it branches out into so many practical ways. Truth always triumphs. No need to prove that we are right. Wins a battle in our minds just like that. One thing that I've been trying to process in my mind in regard to rumors and gossip and those kinds of things that we don't know if they are true. They often really, really put our minds in high gear, and we can even lose sleep over those kinds of things. Our mind may race in circles. Well, for one, gossip should stop with us. But there's also one or two factors I think we can put our minds to rest about and trust in God. Like we said already, truth will always triumph. So while we have the responsibility in some cases to seek and to help find truth, we don't need to be consumed by this. Take hold of the proven and true things of God and allow God to do his work. That is what God does. He leads in truth. Truth will convict us. Truth will convict others. So whenever we find ourselves questioning things, we need to swing our thoughts around, not in blindness, denial, or justification, but take a look at it from the source of truth. Solidify and stabilize your thoughts from that perspective of truth. Whatsoever things are honest. The Greek word here is semnos, honorable, dignified, and worthy of respect. We ask the question to children sometimes, are you being honest? We ask that question in our minds to adults sometimes too. Are they really being honest? Maybe we don't ask them, but we ask that in our minds. When you think of an honest person, you don't necessarily think of him as a person that just doesn't lie. Honesty includes that. But as the broader meaning here already was given, it has to do with integrity, honor, dignity, and respect. Proverbs 10:9, he that walketh uprightly walketh surely, but he that perverteth his ways shall be known. I wonder if the bigger test here is that of being honest with ourselves. We can have so many thoughts of justification and all those reasons why we are not as bad as we actually are. Coming up with a good reason why we did the things we did, when after all it was simply poor judgment and on our part and absolute sin. Whatsoever things are honest are going to be thoughts of value and essence. Cheap and frivolous will not cut it. Whatsoever things are honest, we'll seek to bring respect to others and appreciate their personal boundaries. We will appreciate others' input in our life. And no matter how broadly we flesh out honesty into those areas we talked about, integrity, honor, dignity, and respect, it still has a whole lot to do with the thoughts of others, how we view ourselves, how important are others to us. What are my mental thoughts of honor and respect? They too will show in action. Whatsoever things are just, the Greek word is dikaios, fair, equitable, and in perfect alignment with what is right and duty-bound. Here again, with so many voices and standards of what really is right in the world today, we need to ground our thoughts in God's judgments. There's no middle road in right and wrong. It's the high road only. It's the narrow way. So our thoughts need to be, or to move past the subjective human ideas and political thinking that confuses and deceives. We must think on the thoughts of God, the sure and steadfast commands of God. Jesus was and is the just one. Think and meditate on thoughts of Jesus. As in all of the points we're talking here, starts in our minds and thoughts of Jesus. Micah 6:8, he has showed thee, O man, what is good, and what doth the Lord require of thee, but to do justly and to love mercy and to walk humbly with thy God. Whatsoever things are pure. So next point here, the Greek word is hagnos, wholesome, clean, and untainted by bad motives or corruption. This alone is a very big subject. Whatsoever things are pure. Pure thoughts will replace corruption, perversion, and divisive influences. Those corrupt things describe the culture and influence around us quite well, don't they? Titus 1:15, unto the pure all things are pure, but unto them that are defiled and unbelieving is nothing pure. But even their mind and conscience is defiled. The culture we live in is no exception to this. How are we doing? Are we defiled? Jesus said our thoughts of lust, killing, and other evils are even as if we did them. Anger, cynicism, and other toxic loops all take us away from the good thoughts of God. Pure thoughts are thoughts of gratitude, empathy, goodwill, awe, and wonder, forgiveness. Our thoughts must, again, turn towards God. Anywhere else they begin to deteriorate so quickly. Whatsoever things are lovely, the Greek word is prosphilus, pleasing, amiable, beautiful, and inspiring. What are some lovely things? Did you know that God wants us to enjoy life? Some people are really good at seeing the beauty around them and being inspired by the simplest things. They love to please others and they are easily pleased. That's lovely. That really is a mindset. So are we thinking on lovely things? Ecclesiastes 3:12-13. I know that there is no good in them, but for a man to rejoice and to do good in his life. And also that every man should eat and drink and enjoy the good of all his labor. It is the gift of God. Chapter 8:15. Then I commended mirth, because a man hath no better thing under the sun than to eat and to drink and to be merry. For that shall abide with him of his labor the days of his life, which God giveth him under the sun. Proverbs 17:22. A merry heart doeth good like a medicine, but a broken spirit drieth the bones. Sing and make melody in your heart to the Lord. Enjoy the mountains. Enjoy the sunsets. Enjoy the family. The list goes on. It's all part of our mental thoughts. Whatsoever things are of good report. The Greek word is euphemus, worthy of praise. Well spoken of and constructed. Now, we already mentioned that we shouldn't dwell on every new piece of news and gossip that comes along. Is everything we hear of good report? Probably not. In fact, the things we hear of the fastest and the soonest tend towards the other. There's this little saying that you've seen the Ace Shipping Company around, I'm sure, but on every email that they send, when they send invoices and statements for the shipping service, it goes like this: bad news travels fast. Good news takes the scenic route, by Doug Larson. So all the things that we hear around us will influence what we think. But with that in mind, many of those things are going to be the bad news stuff. So we are going to need to take extra effort to find and think about the things of good report. And yes, it will truly be the scenic route, less stress and more peace when we take it from that point of view. What is the testimony of your heart right now? If we don't have a testimony or a good report to give at a moment's notice, is that a sign that our mind is not thinking right? To give good reports, we need to think good reports, encouraging testimonies, thoughts of kindness, mental thoughts of wishing someone well and celebrating their achievements. I think this is also speaking of someone's character. Our thoughts should be primarily to think well of someone, unless proven otherwise. But even still, if character is proven otherwise, our thoughts must be of kindness and love with a sincere goal of their redemption and good report before God. Things of virtue. Greek word is erete, moral excellence, goodness, and courage. Things of virtue are just all the good things of God. Things that can't be found fault with. Patience, generosity, perseverance, and kindness. Well, how about all the fruits of the Spirit? Love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance. Things of praise. The Greek word is panos, something commendable and worthy of approval. Praise to God. We have something to sing about, something to pray about, something to worship about. Psalm 100, verse 4, enter into his gates with thanksgiving and into his courts with praise. Be thankful unto him and bless his name. Psalm 103, verse 2, bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me, bless his holy name. Psalm 150, verse 6, let everything that hath breath praise the Lord. Praise you, the Lord. We truly do have something to praise the Lord about. Our thoughts should be consumed in worship, praise, and reverence towards God. Maybe this is, you could say, one of the most important filters that we need to start with. We start our day, we start our thoughts with the right attitude towards God. Put God in his rightful place in the hearts. Give him the glory. Continue with it throughout the day and end it with on your knees before him at night. We talked about it in the Sunday school. Needs to be meditating on God's word always. Am I thinking right? Are you thinking right? Praise God for the power of the mind. Praise him for the power to think and to do the right things. We constantly are thinking and our brain is always active, even while we sleep. What am I thinking? The most important thing is to give our heart, mind, and soul over to the Lord Jesus Christ. We also need to make sure we are filling it with the right things. We could look at it from the point of view that I shouldn't think about this, I shouldn't think about that, and I dare not think about this thing. We don't need to fear. Fill it with the good things. Thoughts of God. Fill our minds with God's word and limit to the least possible those influences that pull us the other way. The more we saturate our minds with the things of God, the more restful and the more peaceful our thoughts will be. The mind that thinks right. Blessed is a man, blessed is a woman who has learned to think right in a world thinking wrong. Not with the wisdom that the world calls clever, but with the wisdom that is patient and strong. For the world will tell you to think of yourself, to think of profit, to think of pride, to think I am greater, to think I am better, to let envy and anger inside. But a mind that thinks right wakes up different. It wakes up asking, Lord, what would you do? Who needs my mercy? Who needs my kindness? Who needs to say your love? Who needs to see your love shining through? It thinks right when it would be easier to judge. It chooses to listen when it could condemn. It remembers that every soul is a story, but every broken life still matters to him. It thinks right about God, that he is faithful, that he is not far, that he is near, that his mercies are new with every morning, that perfect love still casts out fear. It thinks right about others, that they are precious, not problems to solve or burdens to bear, but brothers and sisters, all on a journey, all in need of a little more care. It thinks right about itself, not too highly, not low like a worm in the dust, but as the child held, forgiven and chosen, kept not by striving, but by trust. So give us, O Lord, such right-thinking minds, not minds that are cold, but minds that are kind. Minds that are washed in your word and your light. Minds that in darkness still choose what is right. For out of such minds, right living will flow, like a river that none can restrain. And people will see, not the mind, but the master. And know that our living has not been in vain. Finally, brethren, whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are honest, whatsoever things are just, whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are lovely, whatsoever things are of good report, if there be any virtue, and if there be any praise, think on these things. Let's kneel for prayer. Father in heaven, we thank you for your love. We thank you for the chance to share together around your word this morning. Pray you be with each one of us. We thank you for our minds. Thank you for the power of the mind. Pray, Lord, for wisdom from above. Help us to rely on you and to think good thoughts, thoughts of thee, and to love others. Pray, Lord, that you would bless the plans for the rest of the day, bless our week. Pray you would keep everybody safe physically, spiritually as well. And may we all press on and toward the mark. Pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.